الله أكبر الله
Haji.
Find it right here on the shooting bench. Coming up next.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that ball.
You need the shooting bench.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline.
And I am sick of the lies and the deceit and the intrusions on my privacy and the invasion of my home. And we do not intend to take this lying down.
I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way.
And now, if you think you're ready, the shooting bench. All right, and here we are. Well, let me turn this down a little bit. I always forget to do this. There you go. That ought to be a little bit better, not blowing your eardrums out, hopefully. And welcome to the shooting bench, the 12th of July. It's a Wednesday. And actually, there's been a slight slowdown and stuff here for the last couple of days, but we got a few good stories for you. I hope everyone had a great Tuesday. I kind of missed doing the five nights a week, and then I looked back and said, how in the world did I do that? I can't imagine. I did 2 hours a night, 5 nights a week for how long? 3 years? 3 or 4 years? And I can look back now and I don't know how in the world I managed to do that. But anyway, we did. We managed to do it. You know, I've got a story here. Let me get over here on the chat room. Thank you, Susie B. You're a sweetheart. Always coming through on the, for those of you on the cell phone app, Zia, X-I-A-A. It seems to be working well tonight. So, let's see. Let me get over here and see who all else in the chat room. Super Daughter, good to see you in here. Hope everything's going well for you. And Zardos and Pumpkin Cat. And Radio Doc, Rolex, phone's making noise, got a handful of anonymous just jumped in there. Let me shut this thing up here, making too much racket. There we go. Let's see, Edge of the Woods just contacted me. Let me see what's going on in his neck of the woods. He's always sent some interesting stuff. I don't know where he finds it. Okay, let me close this stuff out. I've got a story here that I sent to a few people today. Some of you may have seen it. I usually don't open stuff like this and read it, but for some reason I did this one. And I was glad that the subway that I was in was empty when I read this. It really got to me there for a little while. It was it's about a gal that had her first child, and she was getting real close within days, you know, of having the baby, and the doctor told her that that it was going to be stillborn, and it had passed away at some point there. She said she noticed that there was a decrease in movement and activity and all that, and she began to be worried about it. So anyway, obviously she was crushed and stayed that way for quite a while. She finally, it took her like a year that she decided to try to move on and get rid of, you know, have a yard sale and get rid of a bunch of the stuff. And she said it took quite a while, but she eventually decided to sell the crib in the yard sale. And this is where it starts to get interesting. The kid's name was Noah. Anyway, I guess they'd already figured out he was a boy, so. Everything left untouched for a year. In May of 2014, she said she thought she'd gathered up enough strength to have the garage sale and get rid of everything. Hard decision to make, particularly for the crypt. She just had a hard time getting rid of letting go of that for some reason. And she said somehow in the back of her mind she thought it would be the last thing that anyone would want to buy. Well, an older guy walked in. The guy's name was Gerald. And took a liking to this crib. And Gerald restores old furniture in his spare time and everything. And he thought he could make use of this crib for some reason. So he was persistent about buying it, but he could kind of tell that the gal, her name was Valerie, kind of tell that she didn't want to get rid of it. And Gerald said she was kind of hesitant, and I knew that maybe she didn't want to sell it, but she finally did. And so Gerald had no idea what the real reason was behind the garage sale. He didn't ask anything. She just figured, or he figured, that the kid had, you know, got older and didn't need the stuff anymore, and he didn't plan on having any more kids and just getting rid of it. What he didn't know was that his wife, who was there at the sale with him over on the other side of the place there, had been talking to the gal and, you know, asked how old the child was and everything, and they explained to her that he passed away and said it just broke the old lady's heart. So Gerald packed up the crib in the car and headed home with his wife. And on their way, the wife told Gerald the story about what had happened to the baby. So they realized at that point what this crib must have meant to her and why she was so hesitant to sell it. And they decided that they had to take the crib back to her. But Gerald also understood that it might have been just as painful to have it, you know, to show up back in the shape of a crib again. You're right back in the same dilemma over. So he decided to make it, since he restored furniture and stuff, he turned that crib into the neatest bench. And a really nice white bench. And he said he had returned, I guess just a week later. He got on this and got it done pretty fast. And the brand new crib was now this beautiful bench that they could sit in and or set in there just in memory of the baby. Without he thought the crib might be too painful. So anyway, of course Valerie broke down and everything. So she said that it's just amazing. I said, there's still good people out there, and right here is proof. And so I thought that was a pretty neat story. There are still good people out there. Well, one of these, there's still some bad people out there too. And one of them, I wouldn't know if he's bad. He's stupid. He's a retard, but he may not be bad. But chances are pretty good that he's going to be in jail for a long, long time. He's facing 14 felony charges right now. Why? Well, because he was having fun. He was doing something he knew he wasn't supposed to be doing. Arizona has a law that doesn't allow you to fly drones in any area where you might interfere with law enforcement activity or emergency activity of some kind. So here's this guy out flying his drone over the biggest fire. I think I told you about that the other day when he did it. The fire was 90% contained, and he went out there and was flying around, and they grounded 14 firefighting aircraft.
after the fire was 90% contained because of this drone. I don't know why the hell they just don't come put a guy up there with a shotgun and shoot it down. But anyway, I told you that part. But anyway, they've caught him. They found out who he was. Some of it due to social media and his website, where he posted pictures of the fire that they were fighting. Eventually, they found out who he was. And he's going to be... He is up the creek and no gotty, no paddle. 52 or 54 years out. Gene Allen Carpenter, 54 years old from Prescott Valley. He was the man that they arrested, caught operating a drone close to a van, a white van. So anyway, we'll see if I can remember to keep up with the trial and see what happens to this guy. But I don't expect it's going to be a good thing. And I don't know why. I don't know what in the world possesses. But I understand. I get the whole thing about you wanting to get out there and get the pictures. And you know, you might even win a prize, the local paper or something. But, you know, you don't risk damage to these aircraft and injuries to personnel by doing stupid stuff like that. Anyway, speaking of stupid stuff, this is the third one of these that I can remember. Two of them have been in the last 2 weeks, and the other one was quite some time back, actually maybe while I was still in Farmington. But here is yet another guy. You remember the guy here a week or so ago? Week or 10 days ago, that left a loaded gun laying on his seat, and he sat on it in such a way that it was, well, they nicknamed him Stubby after this, if that tells you anything. Well, The first one that I remember was when a guy was with his girlfriend. You know, if you're going to do that, if you're going to cause a amputation, so to speak, why would you want to? I mean, doing it with your girlfriend present, probably not the best. Oh, honey, never mind. So, looking at the chat room there. So that's two of them. Now we have another one that just happened yesterday. No, that's the wrong story. Hold on, let me get back over here. What the heck? Where'd it go? This guy was carrying... come on. Here we go, Las Vegas. That was in Las Vegas. Like, there's not enough stuff going on there. He phoned Las Vegas for medical treatment after he accidentally shot himself in the same place. And 19 years old. You know, when I was 19 years old, I could think of a whole lot of other things I probably would have rather done. And some of those things might have even included having all that functional. But apparently, he said the gun was unsecured in the front of his pants when it discharged. And... let's see, hold on, who was this? 19-year-old. I guess he grabbed his firearm while driving, and that the gun was unsecured in the front of his pants when it discharged. Said he drove himself to the hospital before he was flown to Sunrise Hospital. That's all there is about it right now. They said it's still under investigation. I don't know. I'd be hard pressed to go to the hospital. I don't know if I'd just go ahead and kill myself or what. But that was, Quite a story. There's another one here. Yeah, I'll save that one for later.
All right, let's look here and see.
Super Daughter, yeah, I'm glad to see you drop in here from time to time. We miss you guys coming in every once in a while. Actually, we miss you coming in every night, every time we have a show, but I understand there's circumstances and things happen, so. Yeah, your dad is Super Dad, and no doubt about that.
Okay.
Let's move on. We got quite a few lined up here. Let me better get on with them. This was an interesting story. And I don't know. I'm relatively confident that it has something to do with the fact that Trump is president, although I don't know if it's directly related or just, you know, it's just how things flow when the right guy gets in there. But there was a closed-door meeting here just recently with the ATF. They're reviewing, they say, what gun regulations to eliminate. They're having this meeting with leaders in the firearm industry, law enforcement, and other groups, and they're looking to see what laws to modify or eliminate completely. And they said, let me read you this paragraph, and it says quite a bit. Citing an agenda from the meeting held in May and June, which the website had obtained, attendants were asked to consider what impact current regulations have on gun violence prevention and what regulations need to be repealed, replaced, or modified, and what regulations are outdated. Now, I don't know if they're really serious about this, if they're just doing it to, you know, just kind of a feel-good thing, or if they're actually trying to do something different, do some good. They said the ATF executive, Ronald Turk, had written a letter dubbed a white paper report, suggesting the agency review more than 24 regulations, including restrictions on the sale of silencers and armor-piercing bullets. ATF has not publicly released details about the meeting, but a handful of organizations that attended have. The pro-gun groups have, some of which often help companies and retailers comply with ATF regulations, expressed optimism following the meetings, whereas gun violence prevention groups expressed concern the agency may be caving to industry pressure. Caving to industry pressure. It's interesting that these, and I don't know how many times we've talked about this, but it's interesting that through the very written reports from the Justice Department and the Center for Disease Control and the FBI and all these places here, and they're all basically the same. You know, the accidental shootings, you know, there's some age group variations there because of gangs and, you know, murder, suicides, you know, some of them lump into the same group of stuff. But overall, it's pretty uniform that guns are just simply not the problem, not a problem. They are so far down on the list. The only thing lower, no, actually, I think I looked this up one time. I think 5-gallon buckets and ladders were way higher than guns, as far as accidents go. And this didn't include murders and suicides, just accidents, accidental shootings. So I don't know what makes these people tick. It drives me crazy. All right, let's see here. Yeah, Yakima Glock, that would be a great start there. Just drop the entire NFA, drop the whole National Firearms Act of 1934. And I think it would be way too much to ask to go ahead and drop the Gun Control Act 1968 also. But as long as we're just wishing, might as well get them both while you're there. All right, I think what I'm going to do is take a little short break, and I'll be back here in just a minute. Matter of fact, let me, since we started out with a rock and roll song there, how about we do that one more time? See if I've got anything that's suitable for what we're doing here. How about, where is Eddie Crump when you need him? This song kind of drives me nuts. I'm not really a big fan, but I know some of you like it. Many, many don't like it. Tebow probably don't like it. But I'm doing this in memory of Eddie Crump. Oh, I tell you somebody that'll like it tonight. Okay, I can justify this. Susie B. Yeah, she's going to like it. Yeah.
number of people looking to buy firearms is up nearly 50% compared to 2007, according to the FBI.
In the month of November, our gun sales were probably comfortably 250% of what an average month is.
All in favor of losing your rights? Please do nothing.
This rally is not about guns. But what these guns that everybody's going to wear represent is the true badge of the free man. That he can bear arms in defense of himself without permission from anyone. And that's what these arms represent.
Gun laws in the U.S. vary by state, and the amount of regulation is a hot-button political issue. Can't take me.
You have associated two U.S. senators and associated them or comparing them to terrorists. I said, well, they are.
Okay. Can't take me.
Fill your hand, you son of a bitch.
You can't take me.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. Okay, we are back. There's some congressmen here in Arizona. I was a little kind of surprised about this. There's been a movement afoot here in Arizona, but not by the right people. There's been a lot of citizens and a lot of activist groups on our side that have been trying to do stuff like this. But now there's actually three congressmen that wants Trump to eliminate certain, in the headline it says state monuments. They're not state monuments, they're national monuments in this state. This came about with Clinton and the Antiquities Act, and while the Antiquities Act may have been good intentioned, at least in their minds, it was just more land grab by the feds. So what these congressmen are wanting to eliminate four of the state's national monuments. Now, if it's up to me, we eliminate every damn one of them. As long as we're in the process, we might as well just get the ball rolling and start one end of the state and go to the other and turn them all back over to the state. We would create, there'd be more, I don't guess it would create more jobs. It would be the same amount of jobs, but it would be money in the state, from the state, to people that live here instead of federal. Can we continue to operate this that way? I don't see why not. If they're operating it now, any of these, let's see, it's the Grand Canyon Parashant National Monument, the Sonoran Desert National Monument, there's two more. Where's the other two at? Vermilion Cliffs and Ironwood Forest. Those are four parks that were put in when Clinton, there's a picture of Clinton with a table out in the middle of nowhere, out in the middle of the desert here, and he's signing this stuff. And what a great place for a drone strike right there. But, let's see. There was Trent Franks, Andy Biggs, and Paul Gosar, all pretty strong Republicans. were among 14 members of Congress. There was people evidently from other states here that signed on to a letter sent June 30th to the brand new Secretary of the Interior, Ryan Zinke. So we'll see what happens with this. That's you know, when you saw this on Facebook, everybody says, oh, those dirty rats are just, you know, taking more stuff away. So while good intentioned, these people don't quite understand the whole deal here. They don't understand the land that the feds have pirated from the states. And so they automatically think that because they want to take over the, or it doesn't mention in the title there, you know, about giving back the state. How did they word it, or giving them back to the states? What it said was they want to eliminate these state monuments. So what these people are thinking, like I said, I know they have good intentions. I know they're patriots. I knew several of them that made comments there. And I understand that. But what they don't understand is giving the land back to the states is a very, very good thing. If we could just get the so many millions of acres of land in all of the western states, each and every one of them, even California, and get that land back to the states. You know, a lot of that land, the vast majority of that land, sits around and does nothing. It's not parks, it's not monuments, it's desert or forest. And it can sit there and do nothing with the state owning it just as easy as it can sit there and do nothing with the feds claiming to own it. Well, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Let's move on here. Several things. This is kind of like the story of, you know, two or three of the thugs that were shot by cops here, and rightfully so. They deserved every bit of it. And the parents saying, he was a good boy, he didn't deserve it. Well, that's what's happening right here when an 80-year-old Israeli shot an Arab burglar, shot him dead. And the relatives I guess the guy that he killed was a father of eight. And they're saying that the homeowner is lying. They say if an Arab had shot a Jew, he'd be arrested on the spot. Well, here we go. That'd be the same thing as black cop killed a white guy, I guess, or whatever. That's kind of along the same lines there. But anyway, they said the family of the man shot and killed Monday night trying to break into the home of an elderly Israeli man denied that he had been involved in a burglary. So evidently it didn't kill him. Oh, yeah, he did kill him. It's the family that denied he was involved in a burglary. So the family wasn't there. The guy was there. He came to have been shot without cause. Well, you know, if Israelis shoot Arabs, I don't know that that's without cause anyway, but that's a different story for a different time. They said he shot two burglars after finding them in one of the rooms of the house holding tools. One of them, the 41-year-old father of eight, was killed. The second one, badly wounded, was taken to a hospital. The family says they don't believe in, well, no matter what they believe, and they weren't there, so. One of those unfortunate things, I guess, that goes unfiled under the, filed under the heading of play stupid games, win stupid prizes. Good night, super daughter. The Susie B, you need to look research real closely on that American Lands Council. You know, on the outside, they seem okay, and they do have good intentions, but they do not fully understand liberty. They don't fully understand what is going on here. They've done some things that are not entirely kosher with what we believe. So do a little research on them there. They have their place, I guess, but anyway. This might interest some of you here. It's I used to sell a lot of these. They come from, they're out of Texas. It's a place, a very, very popular grip manufacturer called Ajax Grips. If you've been involved with guns, particularly handguns, for any amount of time at all, you've heard of Ajax Grips. They make all manner of grips, you know, bone and ivory and wood and plastic and just everything, and they do a fine job of it. But Colt is suing them right now. They filed a trademark dispute. Again, I'm not sure that I understand this completely. They're selling grips to put on Colt firearms. And what better? Well, okay. Now I do. I get it now. I understand. I'm looking at the two different grips side by side here. One made by Colt, one by Ajax, and the logo is identical. Absolutely identical. Looks just the same. So I get it. I started to say, well, if they're selling them and putting on Colt guns, then why not? Well, the why not is Colt's not making the money on it. You know, they're going to buy grossly overpriced grips. I'm sure that Colt would rather you buy them from them. Ajax is not that overpriced. They're a little high on some things. But Colt is going to miss every penny of that. So that's why they're suing them. I answered my own question before I got it all out of my mouth there. So Colt issued him a cease and desist letter here a couple months ago. But Ajax has failed so far to comply with that. Now, when you're doing something like that and you get a cease and desist letter instead of slapped with a lawsuit right off the bat, that's a time to show integrity and say, okay, yeah, I understand. We'll stop. We'll change it. We'll do something different here. So Colt filed the trademark for this thing in 1905 and has obtained more trademarks on it, different variations of the design, you know, ever since then, the most recent being in 2007. So I thought that was kind of, I would expect that out of fly-by-night companies. I do not expect that out of Ajax Grips. I really don't. I've talked to them on the phone when I had the store open, and there was always, you know, stand-up guys willing to help and really tried to get done what needed to be done there. But apparently either they've changed ownership there or management or something, because I don't think they would have done this 10 years ago. Yeah, Mountain Shooter, you're right. I've played AC/DC on this show like, what, three times? Bobby used to play it quite a bit on JMR, but after we took this over from JMR, there hasn't been too many. And I know some of you like that stuff, but I don't. So I don't do it very often. All right, let's see here. What time is it getting to be? Still got a few minutes. See if I can get back up here to the top of the list. This is kind of an interesting story right here. A flight attendant. This is Delta again. Remember all the stuff we heard about Delta over the last month or so? flight attendant broke a wine bottle over the head of a man who lunged for an exit door and fought with other passengers during the Delta Airlines flight from Seattle to Beijing. We talked about, I don't think we talked about this on the show, but I posted this on one of our private secure texting deals here. They said it didn't faze me. Now, most wine bottles that I'm aware of are pretty damn hefty. And if he was, if she broke it, I'd have to say this guy's got a pretty dang hard head. But the guy's 23 years old. I guess he was bruised up a little bit from the passengers getting hold of him and keeping him from doing whatever it was that he wanted to do. He was arrested in Seattle, Tacoma International Airport. But the interesting part of this here was that he was charged with interfering with a flight crew, which carries a possible sentence of 20 years in prison, $250,000 fine, expected to remain in custody at least until a detention hearing on July 13th. One flight attendant and a passenger were taken to the hospital after suffering severe facial injuries. So if evidently the said he exhibited no signs of being intoxicated, ordered no other alcoholic drinks, so why he didn't feel the wine bottle that she broke over his head, I'm not entirely sure. But anyway. Okay. There's a, well, that's a Glock story. I think we'll save that one. Along with the ATF apparently trying to, or at least in the news, making some headway here towards changing some gun regulations, that's a good thing. It's, there's been three state directors removed. I don't know if we mentioned this here or not, but it was Alaska, New Mexico, and Colorado. The state directors have been removed and replaced. So there's lots of moving and shaking going on inside some of these agencies, and I think it's interesting. Some of the Trump hate seems to be backing down just a little bit, not a lot, but it's not nearly as bad as it was, you know, 2 or 3, 4 months ago. Still quite a bit of it happening, but I think secretly, some of these people are seeing what he's doing and saying, you know what? I'm not sure that I was completely knew what was going on here. Maybe I was just acting like a fool or whatever. I'm still quite prepared to throw Trump under the bus, in front of the bus or whatever. But, you know, I voted for him. I like him. But if he changes and starts doing a bunch of stupid stuff, then I'm willing to change also. But so far, I see no reason for all this hatred. I just don't. He may not be doing everything that everybody wants. And I'm not sure we've ever had a president that did everything that everybody wants. There may have been a couple of things that he reversed decisions on, but does that make it where he's untrustworthy and it makes him a bad president because somebody got their panties in a wad because he didn't do exactly what they thought he was going to do? He has still done more in 6 months here than Obama did in 8 years. And I've said it 100 times up here, if he does 1% of what he says he's going to do, America is going to be 500% better off. So I'm not prepared to go down that road yet. All right, let's see, we talked about the hey, there's Charlie also. I guess it's Charlie. They say it's Charlie. Glad to see you in here, sweetheart. We talked about the communication thing quite a bit, but I want to remind everyone, we've had several people ask here just in the last 3 days about the email list. We have an email list called Southwest Freedom, and it's not a huge invasive deal here that you get emails, eight times a day like you get them from FrontSite. At best, I do one or two a month unless some emergency comes up. If you want to get on that, just send me an email to theshootingbench@live.com, theshootingbench@live.com, and just put in there that you'd like to be a member of Southwest Freedom, and we'll get you signed up. And the other thing is the blog. I'm trying to get that revived again. It's not that it needs, that it ever, the fact is I'm always just too busy, too lazy, too preoccupied to ever get in there and put more stuff in it. So I'm trying to put entries in there that might be interesting to people. Easy to find, swsablog.com. It's that simple. And when we have sales, we got survival tabs, radios, whatever the case may be, colloidal silver generators, DVDs, training classes, stuff like that. Sometimes I'll put that in the blog. When we have activities or events here, like when the cop got shot here in Sholo here, back in November, actually it was Election Day in November. I put an entry in there for that. So it's not like this is going to take up a lot of your time or be, intrusive to you. So if you want to get on them, feel free. We'll be glad to add you on there. All right. Well, let's move on over here and start easing towards the door. We've got things to do, places to go, and people to see. I've got a lot of dry practice kits to make. The kits that we made for the Glocks, for the resetting triggers, we've got, just got 30 of them, another 30. This is the same group of the 75th Rangers, the same deal there. They've ordered I think this will be 90 of them, just that one group. There was a bid, the Army put out a bid the other day on 60 of them, and so we're staying kind of busy with that, too. All right, well, I'm going to get on out of here, and we'll see you Friday for Liberty Lounge. And, yes, it will be classic country if you have some. I'm going to work between now and then. I'm going to try to work on this cotton picking thing and try to get the software squared away again so it will do what it used to do. And it's been having a little trouble with that lately. So if I can get that fixed, well, that'll be great. If I can get this to quit messing up here, that would also be great. Hold on just a second before I start all this over again. There we go. Here's a little bit of Liberty Lounge for you. All right. Good enough. Wow.
Well, that wraps up another edition of The Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for The Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me.
No explanation, no reconciliation. No, let's talk it over. Number I can call. Goodbye says it all.